It's important that you realise the things that we have to say to you tonight, they're not things that we've made up either back home in Cross House, or they're not things that we've made up here in New Cumnock. The things we're going to speak about tonight are the things that we find in God's Word, the Bible, and we're going to read what God has to say to us. Now, if you have a Bible with you and you would like to see it for yourself, then you'll find it in the New Testament in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And it's in chapter number 1. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you, then we'll be happy to point out these verses to you, even after the meeting. Because it's important that you do realise that what we are saying has come from God. It's not something that we've made up ourselves to try and make you feel bad about yourself, or it's not something we've made up yourself to make us feel good about ourselves. It's coming from God. Now, it's in 1 Timothy, it's in chapter number 1, and it's verse number 15. And it says there, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And it finishes with saying, "Of whom I am chief." That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, we look to God to add his blessing to this verse. Now, we're going to read, or we're going to speak about a number of other verses. And again, if we don't turn to them, don't worry. We'll be happy to point out these verses to you, even after the meeting, if you'd like us to. Well, I thought, since it was my first time with you down here in New Cumnock, I thought I would tell you a bit about myself. Now, you'll be glad when I tell you that I've not come down to tell you about myself, and I'm relieved about that, actually, that I've not come down here to tell you who I am. We're here to speak about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thought I would take maybe my experience, how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, what I know about him, and I thought I would share that with you. Now, the first thing I was thinking of about it was that I was brought up in a Christian family. Now, I know my dad has been down here before in New Cumnock, and I suspect, potentially, after the meeting, somebody will say to me, "You're offy like your father." Now, I'll be listening carefully to see if I'm, can you tell me that I'm offy like my father, or if I'm offy like him, whatever it might be. And I was thinking about it because I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, in a Christian family. Now, there might be people here tonight and that was the same for you, but it might not be the same for you. What does it mean then? Because when I was wee and when I was younger, being brought up in a Christian family and having a mum and dad who were Christian, it only meant one thing for me. It only meant that on a Sunday, I would have to go to the gospel hall and I couldn't play football. That's what it meant for me at the start. Now, if you spoke to some of my friends back in Cross House or in Kilmarnock, it was important who your mum and dad were, or it was important who your dad was in particular, because, especially in Cross House, your dad was likely to be a Kilmarnock supporter. And if it was a day like today, then your dad would be taking you one place only. He'd be taking you to the cup final if it was today. But if your dad was a Kilmarnock supporter, then he would take you along to Rugby Park. But my dad wasn't he. My dad went to the Gospel Hall, so he took me along to the Gospel Hall with him. That's what it meant for me. Now, if your dad was a Kilmarnock supporter, and he took you along to Rugby Park, that meant that you were a Kilmarnock supporter. That's what that meant. But you see, it's slightly different. Because my dad went to the Gospel Hall and was a Christian, and because my dad went to the Gospel Hall and was going to heaven, that didn't mean that I was a Christian. That didn't mean that automatically I was going to heaven. And we'll speak about that in a wee second. So, when I was younger, that's what it was. I was a Christian family. And I realised from when I was very young that my mum and dad were going to heaven. And I knew that I wanted to go to heaven. But as I mentioned, just because my parents were Christians, just because my mum and dad were going to heaven, that didn't mean that I was going to heaven as well, automatically. That's not how it works. Now, it might be tonight that you're sitting here in the gospel meeting and you're thinking to yourself, well, my mum and dad went to the church, and my mum and dad came to the gospel hall, and I know they were Christians. Or my granny did, or my auntie, or my uncle did. Or it might be you've got a friend, and you're thinking to yourself, well, they're Christians, and because I go along to the gospel hall with them, then surely that makes me a Christian as well. Surely just because I come along here, then I'll be going to heaven. Well, that's not the case this evening, and we're here to tell you that. What I want to point out to you from my own experience, first of all, I want to point this out to you. Your family doesn't mean anything at all. That's pretty much where we want to start tonight. That your background, where you come from, either Cross House or New Cumnock or wherever else in Scotland or the UK you come from, no matter what your parents were like or what your family were like at all, it doesn't make a bit of difference when it comes to the gospel message, and it doesn't make a bit of difference when it comes to being in heaven one day. It's important we understand that. The Bible tells us very clearly that God, when He looks down upon us, God doesn't see any difference between each and every single one of us. There's no respect of people with God. That's what the Bible tells us. So just because your mum and dad, or your family members, or your friends are Christians, and are going to heaven, you shouldn't expect to be doing so also. You're not going to end up in heaven one day just because of who your family are. So we'll start with that tonight, and that's important. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Bible tells us that the family that the Lord Jesus Christ grew up in, the household that He grew up in, He had half-brothers in His house as well. And the Bible tells us, actually, that the brothers that He grew up with didn't believe in who He was. So it's very possible. It's very possible that you could have a Christian family, or you could live in a family where the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken about all the time, and it's possible that you don't believe in Him and believe in who He is. But we'll start with that tonight. That the gospel message, the message that we have tonight for you, the message tonight which is going to make you realise that we're heading toward a lost eternity, but you can change track and know that one day you'll be in heaven for certain, it doesn't start with your family, and it doesn't matter your family background at all. So back there in Crosshouse, that was it. And I knew from an early age that just because my parents were Christians, I wasn't going to go to heaven automatically. And there came a time in my life when it worried me. And it really worried me. It worried me because I knew that Lord Jesus Christ was going to come back and take those who have believed in Him to heaven. And I knew that that would mean He was coming back for my mum and dad. And I knew it would mean that He wasn't coming back for me. And again, that might be you tonight. That might worry you. Well, this evening you can be absolutely certain that if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come back tonight, that you would be going to be with Him in heaven. You can be certain of that. And there came a point in my life when I took the Lord Jesus Christ to be my saviour. When even being younger, I realised that I didn't deserve to be in heaven. But I took the Lord Jesus Christ to be my saviour, and I knew that night that I was going to be in heaven. So it's important we realise it's not your family, it's not your background. It doesn't matter where you come from. I did not bad at school. I kind of stuck in, did alright there. And after that, I went on to study at university for a wee while as well. But you know, when it comes to the gospel message, you might be the most intelligent person in New Cumnock, or the most intelligent person in this hall. And you might go on to study and achieve things and break down barriers and achieve new things that the world has never seen before. But you know, it won't make any difference at all when it comes to the gospel message. And again, the Bible tells us, and we want to make this clear tonight, that it doesn't matter what you work towards, how many new things you try and discover, or what kind of good works you try and do, the Bible tells us that you're not going to go to heaven because of works. And the Bible tells us very clearly that it's not going to be of works, in case anyone's going to boast about it. That there's not going to be anyone in heaven because of what it is that they've achieved in this world, in this life. And that's the next point we want to realise. That you're not going to be in heaven because of your background. And you're not going to be in heaven at all because of anything you've done or anything that you've worked towards. So it might be that I could be a student for the rest of my life, and I could spend my whole life reading books and even studying the Bible and studying books about the Bible, but it's not going to be anything like that at all that means that I'm going to be in heaven one day, because it's not of works, in case anyone's going to boast about it. And I still work quite locally as well. I actually work in Irvine along the road from Chris House. Now, I trust you'll not switch off at this point, but I actually work in a call centre. And I know to most folk, when you mention a call centre, they'll switch off and they'll say that it's the bane of their life and they're always getting hassle from them. Well, fortunately, I don't phone people. That's not what I do, but some of the boys do. But you know, it's possible as well that you could have a fantastic job. And I'm certain there'll be people in here who have got more money in the bank than I've got. But it could be that you're the most rich person in New Cumnock tonight. You could be the most rich person in Scotland or even the world. But even that is not going to take you into heaven one day. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have behind you. It doesn't matter how much money you've got in the bank or you hope to have one day, or how much power you have when you're at your work. It's not going to take you to heaven. we read about a man in the New Testament, and his name's Simon. And this man, he sees the disciples. And when he sees the disciples, he thinks to himself, I want what it is that they've got. I want to have this thing about them that they've got. And he comes up to them, and you know, he offers them money for it. He tried to buy what it was that they had. And they had to tell that man that his money was going to perish with him. Because he thought that he could buy the gift of God. He thought that it was going to be through his money that he was going to get what God had to offer. But this evening, we're glad to tell you that that's not what it's about. It's not going to matter your background. It's not going to matter how much you work towards or achieve. And it's certainly not going to matter how much money you've got in your bank account. But this evening, for you to realise that one day you're going to have to be in, that one day if you want to be in heaven, we're going to have to realise tonight what it is that our verse tells us. What it is the Bible has to tell us. And the Bible tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it might be that you're not familiar with this word sinners or the word save, because sometimes we think about them as old fashioned type words. And really, when I'm at work or whenever I'm out places, that the only time you ever hear the word sin being mentioned is when you hear somebody saying something like, oh, it's a wee sin. What happened to him is just a wee sin. And what they really mean is it's like a shame. Oh, it's a shame what's happened to him. But the Bible speaks a lot about sin. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned. The Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's where we have to start this evening. And it's this problem of sin that's ever going to keep us from being in heaven. The Bible tells us repeatedly, from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end, the Bible tells us that God is holy. And the Bible tells us that God, because he is holy, he cannot stand to have sin in his presence where he is in heaven. That God's standard is absolute perfection. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of his glory. The Bible tells us where sin came in. The Bible tells us as well that wherefore as by one man, and that was Adam, at the very start of the Bible, wherefore as by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all again, because all have sinned. And that means me and it means you. And that's where we have to start tonight. That our problem of sin means we cannot be with God in heaven. Our problem of sin, in fact, it doesn't just mean that we can't be with God in heaven, it actually means that God has to punish us for our sin. And what we really deserve is an eternity away from God in a place called hell. That's where it starts tonight. The Bible tells us that all have sinned, that we're born in sin. That when we come into this world, that's how we are. And again, it doesn't matter of your background. All have sinned. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are or how much good works you've done. All have sinned. It doesn't matter how much money you've got in your bank account. All have sinned. And I'm trying to kind of bring it to you from the very start this evening that there's nothing at all we can do about this problem. It doesn't matter if we've got money in the bank. We can't spend money to solve this problem. It doesn't matter if we're doing good works. We can't do good works to solve this problem. It doesn't matter our background. That's not going to solve this problem for us. This problem of sin, we're born with it. And it's what's going to take us away from God into lost eternity. And you know, there's people who think they can do different things to try and solve it. There's people who think by throwing money at it, by doing good works, that's what's going to solve it for them. Somebody once pointed out to me a picture, and if you can imagine it, imagine an apple tree. And on that apple tree there's apples hanging. And if you were able to go up and pick absolutely every single apple off it, if you picked every apple off of that apple tree, would it change what kind of tree it is? No, wouldn't it? It's still an apple tree. And think about it like that. That the sin that we commit in our lives, the sin that we do where we do something we don't mean to do, the sin where we should have done something that we haven't done, where we say something wrong, any sin in our life, anything at all in our life, which is falling short of God's standard, well, even if we were able to cut it all out, even if we were able to stop doing every single sin at our very heart, we're still sinners, that doesn't change at all. Now, I know I've got one doctor here tonight, but imagine you've got the flu. And you go to the doctor and he says it's the flu you've got, it's a viral infection. And they might give you pills to fix your sore head, to help your sore head. They might give you something to drink to help your sore throat. We're treating the symptoms here. We're not treating the root problem of it. And that might be where you are tonight. You're treating the symptoms of sin. You're wanting to cut out the bad things in your life and try and do good, hoping that that will deal with the problem of sin. It's simply treating the symptoms. We're not dealing with the problem of it at the heart of it. That God, when He looks down from heaven, and as I said at the start, there's no respect of persons. God looks upon the heart. We're all taken up with the outside. We're all looking at appearances on the outward things. But God, when He looks upon the heart, sees something different, and He sees this problem of sin. And that's where we begin tonight. This problem of sin. That sin, when it's finished, it's going to bring forth death. Not just death in this life. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. And that sin, when it's finished and it brings forth death, it's going to separate it entirely from God. Let's go back to our verse though. That Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's our first point tonight. That we've got this deep need within us. This need of having our sins dealt with. This need that we can do nothing about at all ourselves. But the Bible tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that is the gospel message this evening. That while we were absolutely helpless, while we deserved nothing to do with God at all, that while we were still in our sin, God has loved us. And God has demonstrated His love towards us, that because we were still sinners, He sent forth His Son into this world to die for us. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world not like you and I. Not like us who are born in sin. He came in without sin. He came into this world and was absolutely sin apart. Nothing sinful about Him at all. But God has shown His love towards us in sending His Son to die for us up on Calvary. And that's the gospel message this evening. We can do nothing at all about our sin, but Christ Jesus has done it all for us. He was the one who went to Calvary. And it was there upon Calvary that men took Him and they put nails through His hands and His feet. And it was there upon that cross in Calvary that His blood was shed for us. Because the Bible tells us that without blood being shed, sins can't be forgiven. Without Him shedding His blood upon Calvary, and it was there upon Calvary that God took the punishment that you and I deserve for our sin and poured it out upon Him. Do you know, this evening, that is how simple the gospel message is. We have to realise that there's nothing at all we can do for ourselves and our sinful condition. But God has sent His Son into this world to be your saviour, to die for you. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why would God do that? Why might it be that God should even care about us to do that? If you look over just another page in this same book of Timothy, it tells us there that God wants all men and women to be saved. It's God's desire that you should be saved. God does not want men and women to suffer and to be punished in hell. God's desire would be that you should be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, and that you should one day be in heaven. And God tells us how that can happen. And it tells us in the same book of Timothy that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus. That if we want to be with God in heaven, it's Him we have to come through. Now, when you think about it, and you think about this world, and you might be familiar with the term a mediator. A mediator, very simply, is somebody who comes between two parties and reconciles them together, brings them back together. Now, here's where it's different with the Bible. That a mediator in this world will take two parties and get them to meet in the middle. When the Bible tells us that there's one mediator between God and men, God's not going to change His position. We have to come to Him. God has sent His Son to die for us. God's not going to meet us in the middle. We have to come to Him. That God isn't going to sweep sin under the carpet. God's not simply going to overlook your sin and kind of meet you halfway on it. That if you can be a good person, that'll do Him. God cannot overlook sin at all, but He's made provision to have your sins forgiven. And I wonder how you feel about that. Because the Bible tells us that men and women react differently to hearing that they're sinners. And you know, there's some people, when they're told that they're a sinner, they'll deny it. And they'll say, no, that's not me. That's definitely not me. And the Bible tells us that if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We're simply deceiving ourselves and trying to believe that that doesn't apply to us. And there's others that when they say that they've got no sin, or if we try and say that we've never sinned, then all we're doing is we're making God a liar. And we're saying that I've never sinned in my life, then you're making God a liar. But do you know when the Bible tells us as well? The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. And again, in 1 John it tells us there that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That this evening, this problem of sin that we can do nothing about at all can be dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ and by His finished work upon Calvary. This problem of sin, which has nothing to do with our background, and it can't be dealt with by our background. This problem of sin, which has nothing to do with our works and what we can do to work towards it. This problem of sin, which can't be dealt with money, nothing like it at all, can be dealt with and can be met, our need can be met in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What would that mean then? If we have our sins forgiven, what would it mean? Well, it would mean that God's forgiveness, we are taking God's forgiveness, and that one day we can be with Him in heaven. But it's important to realise tonight that if you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then you're already, God's anger and God's judgment already is upon your head. That God's anger and God's judgment is already upon you. And you know, the Bible tells us in perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, it's good for me to read those words, that God doesn't want anyone to perish. That it was not God's desire that anyone should be in a lost eternity. But we tend to stop there, don't we? But in John 3:16, it goes on and tells us after that God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but He sent His Son into the world that the world through Him might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from that lost eternity. Saved from hell and what we truly deserve. Saved from that, but saved to what? Saved to heaven. Because it goes on to tell us there that he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That if we have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ yet, then we're condemned to that lost eternity, and God can rightly do so. That because we've fallen short of His standard, and because He has made provision for us, that we don't have to suffer there. Because He has made provision that we can have our sins forgiven, if we don't believe in Him, that's what we deserve. The verse we read this evening, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I can put my name in there and say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. And you can this evening as well, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save you. And the person who wrote this book, who's speaking here, Paul, he finished off that verse, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said of Himself, he said, of whom I am chief. Paul, who was writing this book, said about himself, I am the chief of sinners. I am the worst sinner that I can ever imagine. Do you know, it might be possible, because for all purposes, I've had quite a sheltered life, I believe. I've had quite a quiet life. And I know I've done wrong things, and I know I've done things which I shouldn't have done, but I certainly wouldn't say that I'm the worst person ever. But you know, some people use that as an excuse almost. There's some people who will say, I'm not as bad as that person. There are some people who will say, well, God won't let me into heaven because there are people in Newcomnock who are worse than me. But you know, it's possible that you might be thinking to yourself, God can't save me because I'm so bad. God can't save me because of the things I've done in my past. This man, Paul, when he's writing here, he finishes by saying, of whom I am chief. He was saying that there's no one worse than him, but yet God still saved him. So this evening it might be, you're saying to yourself, how can it be that of everything I've done in my life and everything in my past, how could God save me? This evening the gospel is for that whosoever It is for absolutely everyone, no matter what you think your background is. When Christ died upon Calvary, he died for you. And his blood was shed for you. And his blood can cleanse you from every sin and from every stain, from every iniquity in your past. And you can have your sins forgiven no matter what they are. And so this evening, hopefully from the things we've spoken about, hopefully from just the wee examples we've given you, that it's not your background. It doesn't matter where you're from, not your family connections, not who it is you know, or your friends or family at all. It's nothing to do with it. It's not going to stop you from being in heaven, but it's certainly not going to take you to heaven. It might be your intelligence, or it might be your works that you've worked towards. The Bible tells us it's not of works. And that goes for everything you've achieved. Everything you've achieved is not going to take you into heaven. But the things you haven't achieved, they're not going to stop you from being in heaven. And this evening it might be money, potentially, that you're counting your money and your bank balance to one day take you into heaven. Well, your money's going to perish with you, the Bible says. Because it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ and his work upon Calvary that we can have our sins forgiven. Now, as we mentioned at the start of the meeting, we've spoken about a number of different verses. We've spoken about what the Bible says, that all have sinned, but that by confessing our sins we can have our sins forgiven, and by trusting upon the Lord Jesus Christ we can know of being in heaven. We haven't looked at these verses, we haven't turned to them and showed you them there. If you would like to see them for yourself, then I please either ask myself or ask somebody you know better, because we mentioned that when I was younger I knew the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back. And just before we finish, it's important to dwell on that. That the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to us that whoever has believed in him, he will come again and take them to be with him in heaven. And we believe that's going to happen soon. And it's important before we finish tonight that you realise this one thing. That if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come back and take those to be who have believed in him to be with him in heaven, it would be too late for you to then take up his offer of salvation. It might be this evening that you're putting it off, and you're putting it off and putting it off, and thinking to yourself, next Sunday, I'll do it next Sunday. I'll do it when the chance suits me. If it was to come tonight, then where would you be? Would it be that you can look forward, that if it were to come tonight, that you'd be going for certainty to be with him in heaven? Or would you have to confess tonight, if it came back, then I wouldn't be going? Well, this evening, God, and his loving kindness, God, who doesn't want anyone to perish, God, who wants all men and women to come and be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, God has given you this other opportunity to accept his Son as your Saviour. And this evening, if there's anything we've spoken about, if there's anything you're not sure about and you would like explained further, then please ask myself or somebody you know better to try and do that for you. Because we would urge you this evening not to be trusting in anything else, not to be trusting in family, not to be trusting in knowledge or works, or not to be trusting in money, but to be trusting, placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We're going to close in prayer just now. As Father, again this evening, we give thanks for another opportunity to present thy Son as the only Saviour of men and women. We pray tonight that if there are those here who have not put their faith and trust in thy Son for salvation, then tonight they would take that opportunity. We give thanks for this opportunity. We give thanks realising and recognising that thy Son is coming back for those who have believed in him, and that he's coming back soon. But we thank thee again tonight for this chance, this one other opportunity to take thy Son as our Saviour. And so as we depart now, we would ask for a sense of thy blessing, a sense of thy presence going with us, but a sense of urgency as well, that if there are those who have not yet trusted in him, then they would do so before it would be too late. Asking all these things and giving thanks again. In thy Son's own most worthy and precious name. Amen. Now I wonder if we could sing just one verse of a hymn before we go. That hymn is hymn number 196. Hymn number 196. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him now, he will save you, and he will save you now. Thank you again, sincerely thank you again for everyone who's come out in this weather to listen to the gospel message. And we hope you realise that it's not something that I've brought with me from Chris House, it's not something we've made up here, but it is God's word. And we trust that tonight you'll react and you'll respond to what God has to say to you. And again, if there's anything at all we can help you with, then please speak to us about it. 196, keeping our seats after which the meeting is finished. Thank you.